It is good to remember. It really is good to remember all the time, but especially sometimes it's good to be reminded and to remember that we are in a spiritual battle. And whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we day by day are aware of it or feel like we're in a spiritual battle, you'd better believe we are in a spiritual battle. And so tonight, I'm going to just talk to you tonight and another Sunday night in a couple of weeks. Next Sunday night, we will have the missionary. It's highlighted in our bulletin today, Brother Sutphin, one of those missionaries. He will be with us next Sunday night. But then in the Sunday after that, I want to address the subject of the spiritual battle. We are this summer doing summer ministry fellowships, and I've talked to you twice, taking time in an evening service, time in a morning service, talked to you about summer ministry fellowships. By now, I think every adult Bible class should have had, or most of them should have had, Pastor Basinger in the class talking about summer ministry fellowships. It's been in your bulletin for, weeks and weeks and weeks. Just a ministry we're working on and going to try this summer. But in those summer ministry fellowships, we're going to engage in the spiritual battle. We're going to pray and testify and grow and study together about the spiritual battle. And so I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And prepare you for this and alert us all to the spiritual battle. And it is not unusual for us at times when we have passages of Scripture that I preach through, and then for us at times as the Lord leads to pray through those passages of Scripture and to, in a greater way, dig a little deeper and really take them to the Lord in earnest. And so we're going to do that in our summer ministry fellowships on spiritual warfare based in Ephesians chapter 6. When you find Ephesians chapter 6, I want you to find verse 10 and verse 11. We're going to read those two verses aloud as a congregation. So would you stand with me, please? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and verse 11, lifting our voices as we read God's word together as a congregation. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We'll pray and then you can be seated. Lord, we are in a spiritual battle. Make us aware of it. Give us your confidence in it. And then tonight, not just your confidence and confidence in your power in the spiritual battle, but also make us aware of our enemy so that we do not take him lightly, but in all our hope is in you. And so we ask for your spirit to help us tonight, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight, let me just talk to you first and share with you about the greatness of God's power in the spiritual battle. You'll notice verse 10 that we read, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And God tells us and wants us to know that for us to have spiritual victory, there must be a time for us to stand. We're told to stand for spiritual victory. Be strong. It's an imperative that tells you need to be willing to take a stand. It means that at some point you have to take a stand. You will stand for something. Everybody stands for something. They may stand for Alabama or Ohio State or Georgia, maybe Tennessee, but there's not a lot to stand for, it seems, sometimes in Tennessee. You may stand for your hobby, or you may stand for this, or you may stand for that, or you may stand for politics, and I'm for all those things in their place. But listen, you'll stand for something, and if you're going to stand for the Lord, you need to know that this is a choice that you make. God gives the command, and that means that we have a choice to make a stand. Take a stand for spiritual victory. But you may ask yourself sometimes, do I have the strength? The battle wears me down. Do I have the strength? And then we are told of the strength for spiritual victory. Be strong in the Lord. There's a command that's there, but it is a very specific kind of command. It's an imperative, yes, but it's a passive imperative. It means that I am responsible for the actions that I take, but I am in need of help and power that I do not have and I cannot provide. Can I give you an example of this? Let's say that I told one of you, would you do me a favor and would you, and I'm not going to say do me a favor, I'm a little strong, would you go back there and turn off the lights at the light switch? And you go back and you turn off the lights at the light switch. Then I say, would you turn on the lights at the light switch? Now, you have the ability, the choice. Am I going to turn on the lights or not turn on the lights, right? You make a choice to turn on the lights. But let me ask you this. Do you have the ability to make the electricity flow from the outside of our building into this building to turn those lights on? Do you have that power? No, you don't have that power. Now, TVA has that power. And we're counting on TVA. Because we don't have the power in and of ourselves to do that. We need a power source that is outside of ourselves so that when we turn on the lights, we enjoy the power. And in this passage, that's really the idea that you have a responsibility to stand, but you don't have enough power. You can't do this in and of yourself. You need an external source that's going to give you the strength and the power that you need, just as the external source is needed for these lights to work. And it reminds us that we are insufficient, but yet God is sufficient. And it reminds us not just of the strength for spiritual victory, but it takes us to this, to the source of spiritual victory. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Oh, what an awareness we must have to have spiritual victory. And this morning, we sang the song as a congregation, Lord, I Need You. Pastor Basinger did a beautiful job of taking us into that and making us aware that whatever the storms, whether the storms come or whether it's times that are good, either way, we need the Lord. And we sang it together today, and I was so encouraged by it because we all need to understand and be aware day by day in the day by day things of life, moment by low moment, the power that God gives us is available. But we must be aware, and that is to be the way that we should live with such an awareness. That I need God's enabling power. I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit. Is that how you live? And then we're told of the dependence that brings spiritual victory. Be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. The term power is a term that describes spiritual dominion or spiritual domain. And in the battle, know that our God is a God that this is his wheelhouse. This is his domain. He has all power. Now, your cat has a domain. It's your house. The cat happens to let you live in your house, but that's your cat's domain. Make no mistake about it. Now, your dog has a domain. It may be your yard. Boy, those squirrels better not mess with you and your dog because that dog... A man has a domain. It is the remote control. He's in control of the remote control. A woman has a domain. And I'm not going to touch that one at all. But you better believe that God has a domain. And while we have an enemy that is mighty, and don't underestimate him, we have a God who is almighty. And then we are told of the confidence that brings spiritual victory. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The term that's used there, the power of his might, describes overwhelming force. The Gulf War I years ago. The strategy of our forces was overwhelming force. You'd better believe we have it. I'm glad we're on our side. overwhelming force. And God says this, you're in a spiritual battle, but I want you to know that there's a strength that I give you. But when I give you strength, there is overwhelming force, so that there will never be a time when you say there isn't enough power available for me to know spiritual victory. There will always be enough power available for you to have spiritual victory in your life. And in the spiritual battle, this is our hope and our confidence that our God has overwhelming power against our enemy. You see, it's important for us as well to consider the sphere of spiritual victory, because remember this, the weapons, 2 Corinthians 10:3 and 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, made of flesh, fleshly power, fleshly means. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You cannot win spiritual battles in fleshly, carnal, with fleshly and carnal means. If you want to win spiritual battles, you have to win spiritual battles with spiritual power. In fact, you need beyond that, beyond natural power. What you really need, what we all need, is supernatural spiritual power. And that's the need of the hour for anybody, any battle you face, any habit that needs changed, any temptation you face, any hill that seems, or mountain that seems so big to climb, I can't do it. Anything that goes on in your life, whatever's happening in your life, know that there is supernatural power available, and that is the need of the hour. So we pray, and we claim the word, and we rest in the Holy Spirit, and we look to our God for his power. And I am so glad for the greatness of God in the spirit, God's power in the spiritual battle. But then there's something else I want you to notice here in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we are told, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then we're told these words, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, it's important for us to consider as well tonight the greatness of God's enemy in the spiritual battle. In fact, the word that describes the devil there is the word diabolos. And it reminds us that indeed our enemy is diabolical. He's diabolical in his description. The word diabolos means slanderer. And boy, you'd better believe our enemy will slander God's character. He'll cause you to doubt. Thoughts in your mind, oh, God isn't good. Oh, God doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, your way's better than his. Isn't that what he did to Eve? Yea, hath God said. Doubting God's word and then doubting God's goodness, as if God was holding out because he wouldn't let her have the fruit that she wanted. You better believe the enemy will do that to you. The enemy will slander your failures and cause you discouragement and so beat you up over your failures that there's no way to move forward. And you say, oh, look at you. Look at you. Did it again. Look back at that time. Oh, come on. You're no good. Well, you're right. You're no good. But God is good and God forgives and God helps me to go forward. But that devil will keep bringing all those things up in the past. You know, Jesus called him a liar. Indeed, he is. And you have to decide in life who you're going to believe. Are you going to believe the one God who is truth in his nature and his being, who is indeed the God of truth and always tells you the truth? Or are you going to believe the devil who is a liar? Oh, he's diabolical in his description. He's diabolical in his desires. It started with the fall. With his fall. This 14th chapter of Isaiah gives us a window into the fall of Satan. There he is in the glories of heaven, given a wonderful position as one of the angels of God. But His pride lifts up. I will ascend. I will. Five times. I will. I will. I will. And God casts him out. Trying to overcome the authority of God, he is diabolical in his desires to the fall of man, to deceive and destroy mankind. And indeed, he succeeded in Genesis chapter 3. To the temptation of Christ in Matthew chapter 4, where he tempted Jesus to sin, commanding the Son of God in verse 3, manipulating the Son of God, verse 6, trying to make deals with God and lower Jesus down to his level in verses 8 and 9 of Matthew chapter 4, and even to the betrayal leading to the crucifixion of Christ. Who is the betrayer? Judas Iscariot. But two of the Gospels, John 13, 27, Luke 22, 30, tell us this, that Satan entered into that betrayer. So that even in betraying Jesus, leading to the crucifixion, Satan was diabolical in his desires. And he is diabolical in his desires, in his temptation of believers. So Peter, Jesus says to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired you that he may sift you as wheat. Peter, Satan wants to shake you up. He wants to mess up your life. I love what Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. When you are converted, he said, you know, it's not final, but when you come through it, I'm going to help you and I'm going to guide you. And it gives me encouragement. You know, Satan is an enemy that desires your destruction and your hurt. He brings temptation to sift you and shake you. But you better believe that Jesus is for you. And if he's for us, who can be against us? So he's diabolical in his description, diabolical in his desires, diabolical in his designs. You'll notice there, the scriptures say this, that describes the work of Satan as the wiles of the devil. A number of years ago, I did a series on the wiles of the devil. It was entitled, Dealing with the Devil's Devices. And in it, I went through every major passage on Satan in the scriptures, except for one. There's one passage I didn't deal with. But I can't remember what it is for the life of me, so go back and find the CDs if they're available. Or go on Sermon Audio, and you can figure out what one passage I didn't deal with. I was thinking about that. I thought, there was one passage I didn't deal with. I sort of wish I did. Then I could say I dealt with all of them. But in that series, when we watched how Satan works, we were really dealing with the devil's devices, the wiles of the devil. The term that's used in the scriptures is the term from which we get methods. It's his strategy. Because Satan is a strategizing enemy. And you'd better believe that he is working his strategy, his design, to defeat you. And when you think about this, it reminds us not to take him lightly. And I ask, is there hope? And I want to close our time out with this, the greatness of God's hope in the spiritual battle. And I'm going to turn to my Bible, and I'm going to have you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. I've quoted a number of scriptures tonight and referred to a number of them. And because we've had some long services and we've had a lot of other things that have been happening, I thought I'd try to do that tonight and keep it relatively short. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. The night is not over. It ain't over till the last amen, as they say, or at least as I say. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I want you to read this scripture with me aloud. It's wonderful. Here we go. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He gives every resource. He has everything that you need to be an overcomer in the spiritual battle. He knows just what to give you. So when we think of this battle and we wage the war day by day, sometimes it gets tiring. Sometimes it gets discouraging because you feel like we lose more than we win. But I'm going to tell you that God knows how to make us winners. And aren't you grateful for it? Would you stand with me, please? We're going to close in prayer. This week, Brother David Bennett is leading a team of, I think, 12 team members to, they'll be in Liberia, then they'll be in Ivory Coast. So we want to be in prayer for them. Of course, Morgan is one of our ladies as part of that team as well. And we want to pray for the team. We want to pray for the container. They've sent it over and that it gets where it needs to get and gets out of where it needs to get out of and all that. I don't know all that's involved. That's way over my head. But we want to pray about that. And let's pray that God will give us power in the spiritual battle. Lord God, we come tonight. We're praying for the Silent Word Ministries International team and their ministry in these two countries in Africa. We're praying about the container, that you would work all of that out so that they can have the freedom they need to minister and all the materials that are there can bless those for whom it's intended. We're praying in the spiritual battle. In our world and in our lives, it's easy to forget about it. But tonight, we have had the curtain of the natural world drawn away or pulled back, and we realize that there is indeed a spiritual battle. We praise you that you're the God who has power. And we ask you to help us and manifest your power. We thank you that he has overcome the enemy. Indeed, he was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And we thank you that he has and that he can. And we pray even this week, dear God, as we live the day-by-day life as your disciples, as lights in our dark world, that indeed we would avail ourselves of your grace because we claim the truth that you know how to deliver the godly out of temptation. So help us, we pray. We look forward to what you have for us in your grace. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good night. Our leaders' meeting will start in 4 minutes in the choir room. Good night.